Well, welcome again to the evening time together. I want to read, I told you this morning I had two favorite verses. Well, the other one is this, and it's 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 56. Folks, this is the promise. This is what Jesus Christ has given us. The Bible says this: when the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, thank you for those words. It brings comfort to each and every one of us, knowing that we no longer have to fear what the world and Satan has held over our heads, and that be death. But Lord, because of what you did upon that cross and how on the third day you came out of that tomb and defeated death and put it in its rightful place, we have the hope and the promise and the love of eternal life with you in heaven. Father, I do pray that you be with us this evening. Lord, bless each and every heart that is here. Father, again, travel mercies for our pastor as he comes home tomorrow. And Lord, again, just thank you for this time together. And Lord, let the words that you want spoken be talked and preached tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in Romans. We'll be on chapter 10. And I want to talk just a little bit. We all know now that the pastor was called to go up north to be in an ordination service. And like I said this morning, if you've ever been to an ordination service, it is truly a time of gladness, of happiness, of joy, where people, one accord, come together to pray and to ask the Lord to bless the person and to bless the church that is to be opened up, the doors, the church itself, the building, I guess, but the church itself are the people that's part of that congregation. And it is such a wonderful experience. It is truly. It's a time of family. And I'm talking the church family, coming together, people from all over, to come and to just enjoy one another, to sing songs. And I told people this morning, it reminds me of when I read about Pentecost, of just how the Spirit of God just fills the whole body at one time. And it is just a wonderful experience. I truly enjoy them. Before I read figure this out where this is. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read something to kind of go along with this evening. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. So keep your finger in Romans. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's coming together as one. I wanted to read that before we get going into the scripture, but that's why a preacher is called. You know, some are teachers and they are called, some are evangelists, they are called, some are used to be, I'm going to open up a whole can of worms here. Some used to be prophets, but I fully believe that everything that has ever been written and God wanted known, it's right here. So I always kind of cringe when people call themselves a prophet. But you can see that God himself has called people for different parts. Just like we talked about the body of Christ this morning. Everybody is called to do a different job. And there may be three or four teachers. And folks, this gathering of saints here, what a blessing. I've been in churches where you struggle to find somebody to fill the roles of Sunday school. It is a blessing to have people who just come forward. And those who teach is truly teaching the Word of God. It's not, thus saith me, but it's, they read from the Scripture, and they teach what God has given them. And again, I'm going to brag on our pastor one more time. In my time, I've been a Christian, as far as I can remember, a long time. You know, I used to walk myself to church at 6 years old. My family were not Christians. And I took myself and walked to a local Baptist church, my home church, at 6 years old. So I've been around and I've seen preachers and I've seen them come and go. But I'm telling you, we got a good one. We do. And I just thank God for that. And I thank God for all of you, for the things that you do in the service of God. So when I start talking about this call for a preacher, and we'll go through the Scriptures, we're all called to be evangelists, each and every one of us, who has tasted the goodness of the Lord. We're all called to give that message to the lost. I don't care who you are, what you are. It could be a smile. It could be a kind word. It could be at the end, do you know Jesus? Or where are you going to spend eternity? For a lot of people, that gets the wheels turning. They may not. They may shy away from you at that moment. They may just shut you down. But let me tell you something. When you have the thought in your mind of where you're going to spend eternity, and folks, hell and heaven are truly real. This is not all there is. You know, we weren't just made from pond scum. You know, we actually were created by an awesome God. And when the time comes, you're going to be standing in front of Almighty God. And you're either going to be made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're going to spend an eternity in a place that was made for Satan himself. I don't want to be there. I don't want anybody to be there. So just remember, as we talk about the calling of a pastor, we're all evangelists. So it actually all comes to each one of us. I said this evening that we're going to be in Romans 10. We're going to be starting with verse 11. I've got to go back now. Romans 10, starting with verse 11. As this morning, I'm going to read out of the King James, but I'll be teaching from ESV. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us pray. Father, just be with us all tonight. Lord, as we study about your word, Father, again, I just ask that you would move me to the side and allow the words that you want spoken to just penetrate our hearts, our ears. Lord, that we would walk away from tonight, if we take nothing else, that we would be encouraged to give a kind word, to talk about Jesus. And Lord, if you have a conversation with people, Lord, we know that sooner or later you will open the door. And Lord, just give us the courage and the words to say to walk through that door when the time allows. Father, again, we thank you for all things, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 says this, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. This goes deep. This is Paul quoting from Isaiah 28:16, which says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. The apostle here uses this quote to emphasize that whosoever believes on Jesus will not be put to shame. Now, with that being said, I thought about the public confession of Christ and how I'm sure we have all at one time or another, if you have witnessed to anybody, there's times that people turn their nose up at you. There's people that actually look down at you. You may even hear the words, you're Jesus crazy. Praise God. Bring it on. I like it. Tell me I'm Jesus crazy, because that is loving words. Because when you witness to somebody, remember, when you talk about the cross to those that are lost, it's foolishness. But to those of us who have tasted the goodness and understand that Jesus Christ is our Lord, it's salvation. That's the difference between the lost and those who are saved. So do not be discouraged. If you testify, if you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in a world of lost sinners, folks, don't be afraid of what the world can throw at you. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that they may kill you. They killed the apostles. They killed the Lord. They may kill you. I'm talking about the world. But they cannot condemn you to hell. That belongs to Jesus Christ. So no matter where you're at, what you do, never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our confession of him on earth leads to his confession for us in front of God the Father. That is everlasting. Ours is a hope that will never be disappointed. So take heart. No matter what this world throws at you, they may hurt you, they may imprison you, they may even take your life. But your heart and your soul belongs to Jesus Christ. 12 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. The Lord is not an exclusive God, as we have seen over time. As you walk this pathway of life, you'll see all different kinds of people from all nationalities, from everywhere. Something that keeps coming back and is just joyful to me. Back east in Pennsylvania, they had a place that you could go and watch live performances. That the Sight and Sound Theater. See how once you're together for so long, you just got to give a look and they'll help you out. That's the nice thing about having rows set there. Sight and Sound Theater. I don't know whether any of you has ever been there, but it is a wonderful place. They have live animals. They put on a wonderful thing. And I can remember the first time we went. There were people there from all countries. And they were dressed in their clothing that their go-to Sunday meeting clothes, okay? And it was just wonderful to see the different people and how they were dressed and how colorful it was. And I sat there and I thought, this is a little tiny glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. When we sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, you know, we talk about things, and I know I do, maybe you don't, that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do. No, I'm going to do exactly what Jesus wants me to do when I get to heaven. But to look around and to see peoples from every nation, doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Greek, they still need to hear the gospel. And those who have heard the gospel are going to be with us in heaven one day. And that we need to be joyful over. Once again, as I mentioned this morning, because of this, God is not an exclusive God. You know, the law kind of, when you look back upon the law and study the law, and I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this. And I enjoy the Old Testament because, like I said this morning, all the way through is that scarlet thread of redemption that is Jesus Christ. The law and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which made up the ruling council, they kind of thought they had a corner on it, you know, and they did. They were God's chosen people. But you read in the Old Testament that there were people just like us. There were sinners in need of a Savior. So no matter who you are, what walk of life, we're reminded again, like I talked about this morning in Romans, we've all sinned. And we've all fallen short of that glory of God. So we're all in need of the sinner. So this God, He loves us all. And that's why there are teachers, there are people who are called to be preachers, there are people from every part of the body of Christ that come together to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. And again, He wants us to tell other people how good a walk with Jesus Christ truly is. And it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now the King James says, "shall." All right? My background was a power station. We had this huge power station. We put out 2,000 megawatts of power with three units. We burned 18,000 tons of coal every 24 hours. Now, just to put it in perspective, a ton of anything is a lot. And we burned 18,000 tons of it every day, 365 days a year. The thing that I learned and was beat into me as an employee of the power company, there was should and there was shall. Should meant that you could possibly do it, but you didn't actually have to do it. Shall, it was mandatory. There was no getting away from it. Thou shalt do it. When the Bible says, like I said this morning, I don't care what version you read, just read the Bible. God will do the heavy lifting. But when the Bible tells me those who call upon the name of the Lord in repentance, they shall, without variation, no questions, it shall be done. You shall be saved. That's the God who loves us. One could scarcely wish for a simpler statement of the way of salvation than is found in these words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, you know, I'll get around to it. I'm not ready to go to church yet. I need to get my life in order. No. I remember this from the Vacation Bible School. All you have to do is come. That's all you got to do. He's done everything else. He'll take care of everything. 14 says, now this is where we're getting into why the pastor went up north. Because there were people up north that are in need of a Savior. Folks, this church is being built and opened. Well, it's probably already built. But this church building is in a place that is surrounded by Mormon teaching. And all I'm going to say, I'm going to leave the heavy lifting to Fred. Did an excellent job on giving us some ideas of the Mormon theology, which is man's theology. So the reason this church body is being ordained up there is because those folks are in need of hearing the true gospel message of Jesus Christ. 14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? In a series of three hows, all right, how shall they call? How shall they believe? How shall they hear without a preacher? The apostle goes back over the steps that leads to the salvation of the Jew and the Gentile alike. Perhaps it'll be clearer if I talk about it in this order. Pastor went up to be a part of this ordination service, to get this church up and running, to be with the pastor, to encourage him, to be with the church, the people inside the building, to encourage them. The first thing that happens, God sends out his servants. The second thing that happens is they preach the good news of salvation. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. If you wonder sometimes what you could pray for this new church. Pray for the lost souls that are being fed the non-spiritual food. They are not getting the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The pastor told me something the other day and traveled all over this country, back and forth. And you see churches and you see the crosses along the way. Do you realize the one thing that is not on the steeple of a Mormon church? Amen. The cross is not on the steeple of a Mormon church. I'd looked at churches all over this country, and I get to watching the cross. As you travel across Texas, you can see this great big cross in the distance as you travel, and you think, oh man, pretty soon. Oh man, pretty soon, pretty soon. And you drive and you drive and you drive, and finally, you get to this little place in Texas with this huge cross. Mormonism is a false religion. It really is. The pastor went into a dark place. There's some of your church body here in about a month are going to do the same. And we're going to knock on doors, and we're going to invite people to church so that they may hear the true words of Jesus Christ. It's nothing that we're going to do. We are being sent out as His servants, and we're going to preach the good news of salvation to those who will hear. The third thing is, sinners hear God's offer of life in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing any sweeter than the Spirit of God. The Spirit will draw you. The Spirit will put a feeling inside of your body like you've never known. The lost fight it. Those who are saved live by it and walk with it. The Spirit will guide you, but the Spirit will also prick your heart, will make you want to listen a little closer to the words of God. That's God's plan. And trust me, it works. I have seen people in services want to come forward. They were lost and an invitation was given. I have seen people and have literally had my arm thrown sideways because of people following the Holy Spirit to get up and to come and to confess and to accept Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing when a sinner comes to repentance. The Bible even tells us that heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. That's how important sending someone out to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the sad part. Not everybody will believe what they hear. And if they do, at the first sign or the first time of temptation or trouble or trial, they'll turn away. Some of those who hear will believe. And that's the good news. Those who believe call upon the Lord. Those who call on Him shall be saved. Our pastor went north to be a part of a body of believers, to be in a place where the Spirit is so sweet. But yet, the folks in that area, not all, but the majority of the folks in that area need to hear the true message of Jesus Christ. 15 says this, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? We just talked about. You're God's servants. You're sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I'm 66 years old and I've never seen a pretty foot. I used to tell people in our congregation, listen, if you want your feet washed, I will do it. But don't think I'm going to volunteer for it. What he's talking about here is the ability for somebody to get up off of their blessed assurance and to go out into that real world and to bring the gospel message. As they walk, their feet are just trotting upon ground. And it's a beautiful thing when you hear the gospel and when somebody who is lost accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is beautiful. God is the one who sends. We are the ones who are sent. Again, in Isaiah 52:7, Isaiah writes of the beautiful feet of Him, of the message of Jesus Christ. That is the Messiah. Here in Romans, the him becomes them. He came with beautiful feet 2,000 years ago. Now it is our privilege and responsibility to go with beautiful feet to a lost and dying world. Our pastor did that. They called, he went. Praise God. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Paul's ever-present grief is that the people of Israel did not all listen to the gospel. As Brother Don gets going in Deuteronomy, we're going to hear about the people of Israel. And if you've studied in the Old Testament, from all the things that God provided, he talked a little bit this morning, he asked the question. Remember the cloud and the fire by night and the opening and the parting of the Red Sea. Those folks, the striking of the rock, water out of dry flint stone. Those folks were there, seen it, and yet there was a whole generation of people that did not get to see the promised land because they were disobedient. Paul is having grief at the time of the people of Israel that did not listen to the gospel. God himself was troubled by those he just led out of Egypt because they didn't listen to him. Today, our hearts should be grieved also because we see things that the Lord has done. We see it every day in the lives of people. And yet, there are many, many who don't believe the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And it should break your heart. My prayer for the lost is that before it is eternally too late, that they open that door that Jesus Christ is standing at and knocking. You have to do something. You have to open the door. God will take care of everything else. I'm not getting into the whys, the hows, the shoulds, the chosen. God, it doesn't matter to me. All I want is the lost to open the door and invite Jesus Christ in as their Savior. That's the part that gets people into heaven. Mark 16, 15 tells us, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's our job. That's what we need to do. 17, and I'll close with this. So faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. But hearing with the ears it's not enough. A person must hear with an open heart and an open mind, willing to be shown the truth of God. Remember we talked this morning how close Pontius Pilate was? Brother Gordon and I had a talk this morning. They were toe-to-toe. They were face-to-face. The creator of all things, the Bible tells us, is Jesus Christ. Pilate was within arm's reach and did not want to believe the truth as it was standing right in front of him. You must be willing to accept Jesus Christ for who he says he is. He is the Savior, the Son of God, sent to redeem the lost. This is the way we as a body of believers in Christ, we must joy in the labor to do all we can to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us your Son to redeem us for sin that we could never pay for. Father, we pray that you will use this congregation, Lord, to help spread the good news, that we would support our pastor, that we would pray for him, that we would pray for the entire congregation, that we would pray for the children that you have given us here, that we would pray for the salvation of those who come to visit. Lord, we pray that you will continue to keep this light in this congregation. Lord, to allow it to be a bright and shining light. And Lord, again, that you would use us to help each other in this struggle as we walk through this pathway that we call life. Father, again, watch care over us. Protect and keep us, Lord. For it is in the matchless name of Jesus Christ that we ask these things. Amen.